you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
All right, let's do it. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Thank you very much for being here, Jamie Markley. David Van Camp is back. There's Scott Robbins.
Yep.
Oh, man. Those few days you were out last week, David, people felt like it was going to be a bloodbath, like we'd lose the show or something. But we kept it together.
Well, that's good. That's good. By the way, I will not tolerate that kind of violent rhetoric on this program.
What rhetoric?
You can't say the word bloodbath, no matter what the context is. Or you are helping to foment a violent coup against the United States government, sir.
You know, you can't hate these people enough. There's just not enough hate in the world. There just isn't.
I'm talking about the media people.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're freaking out.
It's just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if you haven't heard, the new idiotic controversy around Donald Trump is the claim that he said there'd be a bloodbath in this country if he doesn't win the election this fall. This is the actual clip in context. I want to play the whole thing because nobody is playing the whole thing. He was talking about China building cars in Mexico to undercut the American auto industry. That's what he was talking about, and here is what he actually said.
Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us. Now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars.
That's a violent rhetoric. This one, it almost feels like they're kind of phoning it in, right? Like this is like a methadone hit for them. Like it's just a little taste of some controversy. Yeah. So when the people are reacting to it, they try to over-emote because they're trying to make this into something. And this is probably the most obvious and egregious hoax that they've ever perpetrated or attempted to perpetrate.
Well, it's just funny to me because you hear these different people, and I watched, you know, part of the Today Show and then Good Morning America, and it's sort of the same thing over and over. You know, John Carl's about to wet his pants.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I guess, nothing new, but, you know, the whole way it's set up and everything else.
And it's the latest now in the race for the White House. And the incendiary speech from Donald Trump at a rally over the weekend with praise for the January 6th convicts, attacks on immigrants as subhuman, and a warning of a bloodbath for the country if he's defeated. Chief Washington correspondent John Carl has the story. Good morning, John.
And then it goes from there, man.
There you go. This is
More from the John Carl bit later on, because I know you have another clip here.
Well, yeah, Biden advisor and MSNBC morning show host Joe Scarborough bought into the bloodbath hoax. And, man, you talk about over-emoting what Scott might call bad dinner theater. Listen to this guy, man. Again, like, I don't think the Midol in a bubble bath will do it. This guy really needs some deep psychiatric help.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Joe Scarborough.
He's talking about a bloodbath for America. It's laid out in the terms of it. And these idiots on Twitter, these idiots on cable news, these idiots on Sunday shows, going, well, presidents, you know, he was talking only about the auto industry, and this is one more. It's just bullshit. Let me say that at 6:15 a.m. It's just bullshit. He knew what he was doing. We're not stupid. Americans aren't stupid. He was talking about a bloodbath. Sometimes a bloodbath means a bloodbath. And when he finishes by saying, and that's just going to be the least of it, seriously, these people may be stupid. We're not.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You got to laugh at that guy. I mean, he's a cartoon character.
Dude, and David, I think you probably have the same supercut that I saw of media outlets and different hosts using the term bloodbath in different ways.
Yeah.
Okay, just as an example.
A bloodbath for Bernie Sanders.
It's been a bloodbath there, shaping up to be a bloodbath.
Head off a bloodbath in next year's crucial midterm.
Off-year elections are often a bloodbath.
This week's bloodbath Democrats.
It just goes on for 2 minutes. Bloodbath. And all of a sudden, Trump says it in the context you played, David. You know what he means, and this is bull bleep. Like he's some big tough guy, and he's going to say bull bleep. He doesn't care if it's on TV, because this is important. Okay, Muppet, whatever.
Right, exactly.
That makes you feel like a man, go for it. Jeez.
That show,
it's embarrassing, dude.
That show should be animated. It should just animate.
It should, man.
Like a cartoon, yes,
little
every day.
Little fuzzy people.
Right, exactly.
Yes, I would love to see that. Meanwhile, well, you know, you think about all the important things going on in this country and how much time they're going to spend on the whole bloodbath thing. I saw this at Daily Wire, just as an example. You see this headline, illegal alien caught at border says he's a Hezbollah terrorist, planned to make a bomb. Oh, because, you know, we have a little problem at the border and have had for the last 3 years. U.S. border officials captured a Lebanese national on the southern border more than a week ago who told agents he was a member of the Hezbollah terrorist group and had planned on making a bomb. This is 22-year-old Basel Ibadi, near El Paso. They had called this a significant arrest, this apprehension. And so it said the El Paso sector intelligence agents assigned to the tactical terrorism response team interviewed this guy. And said, yeah, this is a foreign terrorist organization. He's a member, and he had plans of making a bomb. Okay, that's one guy we caught. How many have we not caught?
Well, yeah. The Biden administration reads that statement and says, clearly he was just talking about the car industry.
Right. There you go.
He was talking about making a movie.
Yeah,
just
right.
Another bomb out of Hollywood.
Right,
that's
right.
That's what he meant.
Right.
He's remaking Snow White for Disney.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. With the woke little guys,
yeah.
You know, of course. So you have things like that going on. I mean, what's happening in Haiti? What's going on, you know, all over the world? Misstep after misstep after misstep from this administration. But no, we're going to focus on Trump, bloodbath, January 6th. And of course, that's what we get. Shouldn't be surprised. No, a lot of people, you know, of course, it is March Madness time. And, you know, you count on some people that are the experts. You know, like, if you don't know what's going on with March Madness, and you're like, okay, we're going to do the bracket because it brings the workplace together, you know, camaraderie, that sort of thing. There's some people that don't know, and they might want an expert in the office to help pick out their bracket, right? You've seen that before.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you always defer to somebody who you think is better than you are at it, right? Yeah.
Right. It was just funny to me this morning on the Today Show as I'm monitoring the other stuff and they're talking about March Madness that Craig Melvin, you know, that fills in sometimes and brings stuff in. He was going to be that guy.
Excited about March Madness.
I'm so happy to be with you this week. I'm going to need a little bit of help filling out my bracket. Let me tell you.
I got you. We're going to help folks fill out those brackets later. This is the best time of the year for college football fans.
Huh?
It is.
College football fans.
Well, so they don't have to watch football, you mean? What does that mean?
They went on and corrected. It was just a little misspeak there. I was just cracking up there. Oh, don't worry. I got you. Okay. Great time of year for football fans. Yes. But you had another story about March Madness, David.
Oh, man. It's a story of heartbreak, really. One of the college basketball games over the weekend ended in this gut-wrenching way. Kent State, have you seen this?
I have not.
So they were playing Akron in the Mid-American Conference Championship. The winner goes to the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
With just 6 seconds to go, Kent State hit a bucket. They go up 61-60. Nail-biter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Julius Robbins from Kent State, as Akron is making its way down the court, decides he's going to foul a player on purpose, which in the strategy of basketball doesn't make any sense, obviously, if you're up by one, but sends the guy to the free throw line. The guy nails both buckets, and Kent State loses because of this absolute
goodness.
Brain freeze.
They're up one, and he fouls on purpose.
Yeah, he fouls on purpose.
Here's the call on ESPN, by the way, because they couldn't believe it.
Six seconds to go. Kent State a one-point lead, and a foul on Robbins. What a miscue.
Yeah. You can see the coach on the sideline. I mean, the coach is just losing his mind.
Oh, my gosh, dude. That poor player.
Yeah, well, and he's on the sideline afterward. They're showing video of him, and you can hear or you can see him mouthing the words, "What the bleep did I just do?" Like, he looks like he's about to throw up on the court.
Oh, my goodness, man. I feel terrible for him. I didn't see the clip, but that's terrible.
I'm curious what the spread was now. Sorry, my brain went there, but it did.
Oh, goodness. Do you remember in the NBA Finals when J.R. Smith lost track of time?
Yeah.
Okay, that has been called the dumbest play in NBA history, but that just caused it to go to overtime. They didn't lose the game. You know what I mean? This is worse, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you're just going to be known for that. Oof. Oh,
brutal, man.
It is brutal. The score, though. Holy cow.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Must have thought they were down one or something.
I had to have.
Yeah.
Because you'd never foul when you're tied.
No, never.
Oh, I thought we... Oh! Goodness. All right, we got to get to the story in Haiti where police are relying on vigilantes now. That's how bad it is. That much more coming up.
You know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Getting your biggest tax refund from Jackson Hewitt can lead to some spirited reactions.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Jackson Hewitt is so sure they'll get you your biggest refund that if they don't, you get your money back plus $100.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Switch to Jackson Hewitt and we'll beat what you paid last year, even if you filed online.
Hewitt, yeah!
Ain't nothing to it. Switch to Jackson Hewitt and pay less for tax prep, guaranteed. Proof of prior year payment required when filing. New clients only at participating locations through April 7th. Terms at jacksonhewitt.com.
The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Haiti, this is tragic, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, gangs have taken over the vast majority of the territory in Port-au-Prince, 80% or more. They're busting people out of prison. The gangs. I mean, it's just been a brutal campaign of terror. The prime minister last week resigned. This is part of the reason for the coup that's going on in Haiti, because he was supposed to call for elections, and he never did it, never got around to it. This was somebody, by the way, who the Biden administration propped up and didn't want to resign until now. Well, it's too late. There's an heartbreaking but fascinating development here that's being reported, is that vigilantes are being relied upon by police to secure certain neighborhoods.
I mean, away from the gangs.
Yes.
So they're going up against Barbecue and his crew.
Yeah.
I don't even know the name of that gang. I just know Barbecue is the main dude.
Yeah.
He's like the Cyrus of this thing.
So in the neighborhood, Canapé Vert, that's one place where life is not normal, but a little bit more recognizable for people who live there. And it's because of the vigilantes who've actually been patrolling that neighborhood for about a year or two. But now the police are relying on them to, well, kill suspected gang members and criminals. You're not just talking about people who are rounding people up and jailing them. You're talking about dudes who are hacking suspected gang members to pieces with machetes in their bare hands.
Got it, because they don't have guns.
They don't have guns.
Will the police give them guns?
No.
But we need your help.
Well, yeah, we need...
Go after the people with guns.
Yes.
With a machete. That's a tough one.
So
that's a tough ask.
Apparently. I think gun wins.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
unless you're really bad.
Right. Or unless you got enough guys with machetes to draw fire until somebody can get close enough. But it's horrifying, and apparently the whole place reeks of the bodies that have been burned.
Oh, God.
But... again, the police are saying, yeah, well, they're kind of protecting our police compound in that neighborhood, so we're looking the other way as they just start executing people.
Man.
Don't ever call Haiti a crap hole country, ever.
If they're guarding the police compound.
Yeah.
To make sure that, what, the police are safe? To do what?
Are you talking about the machete guys?
Right,
or the
traffic
gangs?
Tickets? I don't know.
Who's guarding the police?
It's not traffic tickets. They're killing people.
But who's guarding the police?
Who's guarding the police?
Oh, the guys with machetes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
They're guarding it, but we won't give you guys guns.
Right, no. I was just going to say, for what?
Man.
What are they going to do?
That's pretty tough.
Yeah.
When you bring up the whole, bleep whole countries thing, and I'm just wondering still if Conan O'Brien and Bill Maher, if they're wearing their Haiti is Great Already hats and T-shirts still, if you remember that.
Version. Of Make America Great Again hats. It's a hat that says Haiti is great already. We offered it to them and they were quite happy to have it.
Yeah.
People really like the slogan.
They love it,
They liked it so much so that Omaze.com is now exclusively offering this Haiti is great already T-shirt.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that didn't age well.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. It's what happens when you have late night hosts try to get into politics. See, it doesn't really end very well. Man, you talk about crap hole. Not the city, but at least this part of the department. Did you hear this story about the New Orleans Police Department having a rat and roach problem?
Yeah.
Their superintendent told the city council, this is crazy. I mean, you got droppings everywhere. We have rats and roaches eating weed from the evidence room.
Yes.
Okay, I can't say it any better than the superintendent. If you haven't heard this, there's the clip.
The rats eating our marijuana. They're all high.
Okay. And then someone put the rest to a little bit of music.
The uncleanliness is off the charts. Rodent infestation. People shouldn't have to come to their office and see rodent drippings on their desk. That is not valuing your people. In the evidence property room, major rodents and the rats eating our marijuana. They're all high.
It's like Cheech and Chong meets Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right?
Yeah. Well, at least they move really slow. The cats can get them easier now.
Except the cats are on fentanyl now, Scott.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. There were other reports, like droppings on desks and stuff like that.
Oh, man.
Man.
Are you coming into that? I mean, we worked at different places where you come in and you're like, this place is a dump. Like an absolute dump.
Oh, yeah.
But it's never been anything like that. Well, Scott, you and I worked at a place, man, where you'd be on the air, and they wouldn't give you the window that, overlooked the city. It was the one that looked into a hill with rocks and crappy shrubbery, and there'd be rats that'd be staring at you as you're talking on the air.
My co-host went as Ben.
They say try to talk to one person, and it was the rat.
Partner Willard.
Yeah. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show. All right.
Scratched on the window. I remember that. You can hear him. Yeah, scratched on the window.
Yeah, he used to say, he was saying, play Metallica.
Yeah.
He was a little metalhead, that rat.
Get in there and do a show. What are you looking at?
Anyway.
Rat!
Biggest story today, David?
Biggest story of the day, to me, I guess, is the new hoax against Trump, which is that he was calling for violence if he doesn't win the election this fall. When he was actually saying it's going to be a bloodbath for the auto industry if China is allowed to build more cars in Mexico and ship them over here.
Yeah. Yeah, that story. There's Nancy Pelosi audio. This is pretty funny to get to in a round of What's Your Story? Straight ahead. All right. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. All right, David, you got more on the bloodbath.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Oh, no. So, yeah, Trump over the weekend, he's in Ohio doing a rally, and he's talking about putting tariffs on Chinese automobiles that are manufactured in Mexico. He's saying because they're trying to undercut, yet again, American manufacturing. So he says, yeah, and it, look, if I don't get reelected for the auto industry, it's going to be a total bloodbath, is what he said.
Yeah.
And people have started taking that literally on purpose. They're lying on purpose in this case, media outlets are, and the Democrats. I mean, one and the same, basically. They're saying, oh, he's calling for violence if he doesn't win the election this November. Oh, no. And it's just kind of remarkable to watch this hoax materialize in real time. Susan Glasser with The New Yorker was on ABC News yesterday having a bit of a panic attack about Trump saying it'd be a bloodbath for the auto industry if Biden gets reelected.
Okay.
I think in a way we are all desensitized and inured to the extraordinary, remarkable, and very at times un-American and threatening things that the former president is saying. I'm not saying it's easy to understand how to cover it, but I think we have to cover it. When the former president, who's already incited violence among his followers, says that there's going to be a bloodbath after the election, if he does not win, he is telling us what he is going to do.
Oh, God. Just yeah.
Thank you, honey. Thank you.
We've been desensitized. You people are the most sensitive creatures on the planet.
Jeez.
He's telling you exactly what he'll do.
I know.
I think she's got some very deep-seated problems.
Yeah, I agree.
They all do. They're just crippled by him.
Yes, I think some of them actually really buy into it, and others are just outright lying. I'm not sure which is worse.
Boy, I don't know. I think
the ones that are outright lying are worse.
Yeah, well, they are.
The other ones do need help.
They just mentally are just destroyed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's speaking in code and blah, blah, blah.
It's a bloodbath. People in the streets killing each other. Jeez.
Again, man. And we played part of it. We'll play it again later. It's this two-minute supercut. You can't listen to it all at the same time. You can play 20 seconds of it. Different media people saying bloodbath over time to describe a number of situations, but this time we know what he meant for president.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you were out for the later part of last week, David, but I'm sure you heard about what Chuck Schumer said about Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu. Partly
this critical juncture, I believe a new election is the only way to allow for a healthy and open decision-making process about the future of Israel.
What?
Yeah.
Isn't that meddling in somebody else's business?
You're wanting to, you know, replace democracy right there. People have already voted. They voted for it.
Prime Minister Netanyahu's current coalition remains in power after the war begins to wind down and continues to pursue dangerous and inflammatory policies that test existing U.S. standards for assistance, then the United States will have no choice but to play a more active role in shaping Israeli policy by using our leverage to change the present course.
Okay.
So, I mean, you hear all that. Right. Who are you?
Yeah.
Chuck Schumer? No, they pretty much agree in Israel what needs to be done. It was take out Hamas. I thought that was agreed on by everybody.
Yeah.
They haven't finished the job yet. So what are they supposed to do? Oh, okay, we'll stop now, and we'll just let them grow back in Gaza and do this again, because they already said they were going to do it again. And it's crazy to me. Well, and Cocaine Mitch, he got out there right after Schumer. I don't know if you heard that, David.
What
he didn't like it very much at all.
It's grotesque and hypocritical for Americans who hyperventilate about foreign interference in our own democracy to call for the removal of a democratically elected leader of Israel. This is unprecedented.
Okay.
So, well, that's a valid point. I mean, they were hyperventilating over foreign influence into our elections.
Absolutely.
But we want to do it to somebody else.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's perfectly fine because they're on, we got the right people doing it.
So Nancy Pelosi is on with Dana Bash on CNN over the weekend. Why did they still trot her out there? I mean, you talk about, she's getting up there with Biden now. You listen to this clip. You know what? I won't say anything else other than play it and just get your reaction.
It's curious to me to see Netanyahu talk the way he does when he tried to interfere in American elections. But that's another subject. When he came to the Congress, criticized the president of the United States, barged into our country, into our and our elections. But again, let's put that aside and let's just say as we go forward.
Before we put it aside, you freaking brought it up. What are you talking about? He barged in? You couldn't stop him?
Right.
You couldn't stop a foreign leader from coming in? What are you talking about?
He was with that guy with the horns.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. All right.
He was a Chewbacca guy.
It was the QAnon shaman.
Yeah. Yeah. He came in with him. Yeah.
I don't remember it that way. Anyway, okay.
I don't either.
Anyway, old Harpy goes on.
What is wrong with advocating for elections in a democracy? And, you know, you mentioned the polls. You see that thousands and thousands of people are in the streets, even last night in Israel. But, again, it's a democracy, and people have different views, and they express them, and that's a beautiful thing. But for him to say, what does that say if he won't even say that as the war winds down, the people of Israel should speak? That's all Chuck was saying, but read the speech.
That's incoherent.
It is incoherent.
Help, David. You got anything? Is it something that Robbins and I are missing here?
You know what? I am fluent in senile, and I'm fluent in drunk, but not drunk senile.
Oh, sorry, man, you combine them.
That's just a dialect I'm not quite fluent in.
It's remarkable.
She should just stick to thanking George Floyd for dying and be done with it.
Yeah, right.
That's what she's best at. That take will go down in history, man. I know we got to move on. We got other stuff to get to.
Stunning.
She's something, man.
Yeah.
All right. May not be the biggest story out there, but it caught your attention. Today, David, what's your story?
Well, in an interview with Extra, maybe y'all have seen this already, Harrison Butker, kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs, doing this interview, and the topic of gun control came up. Because obviously what happened during the Chiefs Super Bowl victory parade where some teenagers, young men, got into a fight because they didn't like the way that one group was looking at the other group. It was idiotic, idiotic people doing idiotic things.
What you looking at?
Right. So he's asked, Harrison Butker is, hey, you were kind of close to one of these horrible shootings. Do you have any thoughts on the gun control debate? And this might actually, it's common sense, but to the left, this is probably really hateful, the way that he answered the question.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I had to do a lot of thinking about what took place at the parade. I know gun violence was a big discussion, but at the end of the day, this is degenerate violence, and it should not be occurring. I think we need strong fathers in the home. I think we need men that are leading, that are setting good examples, that are teaching the young men in our society that violence is not the way to handle our disputes. It's very unfortunate what happened. Unfortunately, many, many children were injured. A beautiful young lady was killed over someone getting offended and turning to violence to handle that dispute. It's so sad. I don't think guns are the issue. I think we need fathers in the home that are being great examples for our youth.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Now again,
that's twice Butker's ticked off the left.
Obviously a tool of the far right.
By using common sense.
Yep.
Yeah, there's...
Okay. Is there serious backlash to that?
Well, I'm just waiting for it at this point.
Yeah, it will happen.
No, but that's common sense. There's nothing controversial about that. But if you start talking about fathers in the home... Dog whistle. Racist dog whistle.
Yep. No, it's just a fact dog whistle. Look at every study. Seriously. And you can give some anecdote. Well, a crappy father and whatever. Yes, that happens. You just look at studies.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when fathers are in the home versus when they're not? That's all it is. That's what he's saying. But they're devalued. I'm glad he said it. Good for him, man. Every time I want to hate the Chiefs again, there is another Chief that's really cool that says something cool like that. Man.
All right, my Butker jersey on today.
There you go. What do you have for what's your story today?
Well, my story involves congratulations to Vladimir Putin. He was reelected with 88% of the vote.
Mm.
How about that, huh? Yeah, Saddam Hussein got 100%, so not quite what normal dictators get, but 88% is pretty good. Now, this story came to me from Hot Air today, and at the bottom of it, they said, well, hey, nobody's fooled by this. I mean, Russian voters did have a choice between fall out of a Moscow window or get sent to the Ukrainian front.
Right.
That finished 2 and 3 on the list, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I was going to say, also, their population just declined by 12%. It's strange.
Right, yeah.
It makes me laugh, man.
Like that 88% of the vote. And that's down from the 100% that Saddam Hussein got.
Yes. You know what, man? If you want later on, I'll give you the ABC version of that story.
Oh, okay.
Or no, I think it was NBC. Because I think it was actually Keir Simmons' Truth to Power asking Putin a question. And he wanted everyone to know NBC was the only one that asked him any sort of question like he did. I mean, there was not really answered. But he was talking about Navalny and... You know, some people say this is not a fair election. Well, of course not. It's Putin, well, for no, crying out loud.
Right. What do you, some people say that? We're the ones that go, no, no, totally fair.
Oh, my gosh. For my story today, this is kind of crazy. Cops in rural Minnesota got a report last week. There was an elderly guy walking down the side of the road with a shotgun. Mm-hmm. Like, whoa, what's going on? Person who called in said it just seems suspicious because he tried to hide the gun as we were driving by. So we're describing it like, oh, I'm going to hide this thing. The officer goes to check it out. Found the guy who fit the description. He didn't have a shotgun. It turns out he was just getting his daily walk in and he had a walking stick with him.
Oh.
I'm like, well, why'd he try to hide it? Well, he told the cops, you know, he's listening to music on his walks. I got to admit, when they were driving by, it was right during this incredible guitar solo, and I was going air guitar on the stick. So his knee-jerk reaction was to stop and hide the stick.
I want
to
hang with that guy.
Yeah. That's why it seems suspicious. Yeah. I just want to say to all the proud air guitarists out there, yeah, don't be ashamed.
Right.
Who cares? You be you. Yes. Who cares what anybody thinks?
Absolutely.
Something like that, man. You're feeling it. You just go for it. Okay. Man. David, I know we got a news update and then some story of a guy busted with a massive alligator in New York. I can't wait for that. All coming up.
Opportunity. It's what Michigan is all about. The opportunity to do more. The opportunity to connect with the best talent. The opportunity for people of all backgrounds to grow and expand their business. The opportunity to live and work in a state where paychecks go farther. The opportunity is now, and it's right here in Michigan. Visit MichiganBusiness.org/radio to discover all the ways the Michigan Economic Development Corporation is helping Michigan thrive.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Getting your biggest tax refund from Jackson Hewitt can lead to some spirited reactions.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Jackson Hewitt is so sure they'll get you your biggest refund that if they don't, you get your money back plus $100.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Switch to Jackson Hewitt and we'll beat what you paid last year, even if you filed online.
Hewitt, yeah!
Ain't nothing to it. Switch to Jackson Hewitt and pay less for tax prep, guaranteed. Proof of prior year payment required when filing. New clients only at participating locations through April 7th. Terms at jacksonhewitt.com.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
And Robert Show, talked about it many times. Concerns about the economy, rising costs. Running a business right now is the hardest it's been in a long time.
Yeah, and you can make it a little bit simpler by, well, streamlining the nuts and bolts of running your business, and you can do that with NetSuite by Oracle.
Everything you need to grow your business is all there in one place.
You get a customized solution for all of your key performance indicators.
And it's all in one efficient system, letting you manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins.
Having it all together makes it easier to make good decisions for the future.
And right now, NetSuite has an unprecedented offer to make it happen.
What you do is you download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist. It's designed to give you consistently excellent performance, absolutely free, at netsuite.com/MVR.
That's netsuite.com/MVR to get your own KPI checklist.
All right, David, what's the story about a dude busted with a gator?
Dude, all right, so there's this guy in upstate New York, 64-year-old Tony Cavallaro. Well, the state had to go and get his alligator from him. The alligator weighs 700 pounds, is more than 10 feet in length.
Whoa.
The alligator's name is Albert Edward, by the way. It's a blind alligator. Named Albert Edward, had some spinal problems. Now, the state knew that he had it because he had a license to keep that animal, but it expired in 2021. And then the state found out that what he was doing with that alligator was keeping it in an in-ground pool, and he would have people come over to get into the pool with the alligator and take pictures.
Golly, man.
He says, "Yeah, I mostly did it when the alligator was sleeping. It's fine. I did everything by the books. But otherwise, the alligator wasn't secured in any other way. It's just in an in-ground pool." And his statement to the New York Times was, "I did everything by the book the whole time. They changed the rules. I should be grandfathered in. I shouldn't have to abide by them."
He's kind of got a point there. It wasn't the rules before?
Yeah.
Just, how much money would it take, Scott, to get your picture taken with the gator?
With an alligator?
Well, in that situation.
Good.
It's sleeping.
Yeah, okay. Until I get in there, then it's awake.
That's really what they would do, David?
Yes.
Oh, God. I don't know. 10,000 maybe.
Oh, I figured it'd be more than that for you to
I
get
said
in
maybe.
There. Okay.
Once I got there, I may completely chicken out. I may see that alligator lurking over there and go, no thanks.
Well, I mean, I don't know, man. I think if I ever were to do it, I wouldn't want it to happen in a dude's backyard in his swimming pool.
Yeah,
I'd kind of want some more shine on that operation before getting into the water there.
Oh, yeah. Damn alligator bit my hand.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Dang.
Crying out loud, man. Scott, you had the story of Putin.
Yeah.
Did you want to hear any of the coverage from NBC? Keir Simmons.
Oh, I'd love to.
Truth to power.
Well, they're your election headquarters there.
Well, yeah. he asked the question because, well, he sets it up this way.
Putin won the biggest victory of his leadership, Russian officials say, after years of crushing opposition leaders like Alexei Navalny and Boris Nadezhdin, who told us he voted by writing his initials on the ballot. NBC News was the first international news organization to question the Russian leader after the election.
A little self-congratulations there.
Yes.
His so passionate what? Delivery.
So what? Mr. President, journalist Evan Gershkovich spent this election in prison. Boris Nadezhdin, who opposes your war in Ukraine, wasn't allowed to stand against you. And Alexei Navalny died in one of your prisons during your campaign. Mr. President, is this what you call democracy? That's life, Putin said.
That's life. Well.
See? We know exactly who this guy is.
Well, yeah.
But it, like, fits the script. He goes, that's life. Holy crap, man. But nice reporting, kid.
Nice going.
This is the Mark, the Van Camp and Robert Show.
Are you ready?
J.
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. All right. This bloodbath story. Is this thing going to be over by Wednesday? Maybe?
Well,
or does
no,
this have legs?
Well, I mean, the Fine People hoax against Trump has been going on for, what, almost 6 years now.
Oh, that's true. You know what? You put it that way, the other one that is still going on, he admitted he's going to be a dictator.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah, Trump, during a rally in Ohio over the weekend, was talking about putting tariffs on Chinese imports into the United States, specifically the auto manufacturing or the car industry, mm-hmm. where they are building factories in Mexico, building them on the cheap, and then sending them into the United States for much cheaper than you can get an American-made car. And he says, yeah, if you don't get me in, it's going to be a bloodbath in the automobile industry. And now media and Democrats have said, oh, he's threatening violence again. So historian and Biden advisor Michael Beschloss pushed the bloodbath hoax on MSNBC this morning in rather dramatic terms.
Okay.
As we talk about this campaign, as it unfolds, we have never seen anything remotely like this in American history. A major party candidate is saying, you elect me, there's going to be dictatorship, bloodbath, violence, retribution against my political enemies. That equals what we saw in Italy and Germany and other places. If Americans do not get that, if they choose that voluntarily, then this country has changed in a way that I do not understand.
Oh, my God.
No. Here's the other thing. He didn't even get the hoax right.
No.
The hoax in this case is the claim that Trump said there would be a bloodbath if he lost the election.
Mm-hmm.
So he got it backwards. He's not even doing the hoax right.
Does it matter for the audience?
No, not at all.
Because that's just it. Because I hear something like this when you, and you played it earlier, David, all in context of what Trump said. And then you know how they will take the snippets and use it all over legacy media to convince the people that only get their news there that this guy is calling for a bloodbath if he loses. Okay. Then we will all hear it from different people we know that happen to be friends.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if you're going to, you know, stereotype it, it's usually a little bit older, tends to lean more female than male. But you will hear this at some point in time regurgitated back to you.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that don't say gay thing in Florida. No, it. And then you have to explain to people, no, this is what the media did with that story. And even as you're trying to explain it, and you could say, listen, I can show you different facts to support that. They kind of look at you like, well, you're one of those nuts from the other side. I don't know if I can trust you.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, I guess that's why they do it. Because we're always asking the question, do they really believe this crap they're throwing out there? And I don't know about that guy. He said so many insane things, this historian.
Well, he just turns into Laurence Olivier, too, when he's so dramatic, yeah, right. His rendering.
Oh, yeah. Well, and we brought this up before, too, and you have a different cut, David, of the media. You used to love the word bloodbath. They've used it many times in many circumstances.
Yeah, Mays Moore put out this hilarious montage of media members using the term bloodbath to talk about everything from politics to Taylor Swift ticket sales.
Bloodbath at the RNC.
A quote, bloodbath.
Yeah, bloodbath. Not only is it going to be a bloodbath, but after they leave New Hampshire, it's a bloodbath on her home turf.
And the headline refers to it as an impending bloodbath.
Yeah. A Biden bloodbath.
In fact, the word bloodbath and massacre come up frequently.
The Republican Party will be destroyed. It's going to be a bloodbath.
There's going to be a bloodbath one way or the other.
Bloodbath for Bernie Sanders.
Ticket sales for singer Taylor Swift's latest tour.
It's safe to say the fans had a bloodbath for the company after the fiasco.
Yeah, right.
I know. I knew it, man. I knew it when he said it, though. I heard him say it, and I'm like, dang, here we go. This is exactly what they're going to do. They telegraph it all the time. This is exactly what they do. They clom onto a couple of words,
yeah,
take it out of context, and just run with it.
Yes.
And no one stops them.
He also said he would kill for a Big Mac. He would literally kill someone for a Big Mac.
Now, in the history of presidential politics, has anybody threatened to kill somebody for a hamburger? Woodrow Wilson once suggested, maybe, at a backyard cookout.
Well, it's crazy to me, and at the same time, we've seen censorship over the last 4 years unlike we've ever seen before, and going after a political opponent and trying to jail them right in front of everyone, and they still go down this road. And I think part of it is, too, because they see the polling, and they are, you know, as far as we can tell right now, I guess they think Biden's going to make it all the way through, or there's some other plan. This is kind of crazy.
Well, it's also
they know they can't win.
Right. It is interesting to me, too, that they think Donald Trump has the ability, singularly, to pull off all this stuff. When we know, upon listening to them, that President Biden just can't do anything. He's just a bystander. Congress needs to get things done. He can't do it.
Here's the other thing, man.
But Trump's going to shut down the government? Okay.
Well, let's look at it this way. Because at least on NBC and ABC, they were saying it's like they want a repeat of January 6th.
I know.
One of the worst attacks since the Civil War. They go on and on, right? Okay. If that's all you're really worried about, all you got to do is have more security around the Capitol on January 6th. Nobody had any guns. You morons. And it's been reported now, even though legacy media won't tell anyone, that yes, Trump had said we need National Guard. Now that might have been out of fear of Antifa, not his own people, but that is absolutely true. But they won't report on that stuff. It's wild, man. All right, let's switch gears. This has to do with Hamas, David.
Yeah. So the U.S. is airdropping food and supplies into Gaza because of the millions of people who are being starved because of Hamas's refusal to end a terror campaign against Israel.
But it's Israel's fault.
Right, apparently it's Israel's fault, but whatever. Mm-hmm. A pro-Hamas news outlet shared a video of one guy talking about the food that's being dropped. They're MREs, meals ready to eat. Our soldiers eat those all the time. It's not supposed to be gourmet food. It's supposed to be nutritious and at least slightly edible. That's it. Basically, densely packed calories that stay good on the shelf for a number of years. That's the purpose of them.
It's like survival food that you would order online.
Right. And, I mean, sometimes, yeah, they church up the names of it. You know, here's your gourmet chicken and rice or whatever, and it's like this powdery, nasty stuff. But
it'll keep you alive.
Oh, it'll keep you alive, though, yeah. If you're starving, you would like anything, right?
Absolutely.
You would think. Well, this guy did a food review. He's apparently associated with Hamas or the Palestinian plight, and he's not a fan of the MREs that are dropped into Gaza.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh, I know. All right, roll it.
It's one of the worst meals I've ever had. Nothing tastes good. Only the peanut butter tastes like our Canadian peanut butter. Everything else, this whole meal is like a 2 out of 10. Not even a 1 out of 10, actually.
Hold on a second. Like our Canadian peanut butter. Is he from Canada?
I guess so.
Okay.
This is torturing us more than it's being aid.
Okay. Well, stop the drop-offs then.
Yep. If that's torture, then fine. All right.
Okay. All right. Sounds like you're not hungry enough.
Yeah, right.
Are you joking me?
Well, right.
What do you want? What are they supposed to do?
I heard this. I'm like, where did this... What's going on?
Our troops eat this stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not pleasant, you know. Again, it's not fine dining. It's not supposed to be.
But you're also saying they're starving people to death. You're dropping the aid. You're trying to help keep people alive, but that's not good enough.
I think it's dropping like Ruth Chris from the helicopters. Right. I mean, what do you think's happening here?
I'm sorry, helicopter. I wanted this one medium rare.
What is it? Islamophobic to say beggars can't be choosers? Right.
Well,
yes.
You freaking joking? Give me a break. Man, I don't know. Okay, speaking of food, I don't know if you saw this story. Dude in Nevada, well, at the time, had a big mystery on his hands. More than 100 pounds of packaged sliced bread was dumped on his property last Monday.
What?
More than 100 pounds of sliced bread. He had no idea where it came from.
Wow.
What it was doing there. And it's not a house. It's a funeral casket supplier. So for some people, like, oh, what's going on there?
Yeah.
Because in Nevada, you know, they've found bodies in barrels at the lake and from places they're not quite sure what's going on. The bread was Kroger brand. It was expired. Some of it had mold, but most of it looked okay. Some of the loaves were in boxes, but a lot of it was loose in plastic packaging around the dumpster area. So the dude was confused. So, again, he was, like, just poking around, like, is there a dead body? Did somebody get killed, buried in this, or whatever? So he called local grocery stores and the Kroger. Nobody had any idea what happened, where the bread may have come from. But eventually they figured it out. A distributor came forward and said they got a hold of a driver that handles that route. And he admitted he dumped it because he was mad and didn't want to go through the process of returning it. The driver called the news station anonymously and said that the representatives tell drivers to dump the unsold bread off at churches and nonprofits. And if they can't find anyone to give it to, they should just dump it anywhere. Said he wasn't being paid for that, so he just dumped it where he did.
Dang.
They said that is a crime. And the business owner would have been responsible for it since it happened on their property, but the bread is gone now.
I got to tell you what I thought you were going to say.
What?
The door blew off some Boeing plane and bread got sucked out of the car.
No.
That's what I thought you were going to. No, I thought it was some sort of drop from an airplane or something.
All I know is, you know, it is a crime, and so that bread delivery driver is now toast.
Wow.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
You know, he's got himself in a jam.
Oh,
I disavow. I disavow that.
I don't even get a ooh one for that one. God, dang it.
This brings up a different question that I feel like I need to ask right now. Mm-hmm. Say you are volunteering at one of these nonprofits that takes bread from a grocery store to like a food shelter, different places like that. Okay. And I mean, you got sacks of it everywhere. Seems like plenty. But there's this cinnamon bread is in there, you know, a few packages of that. And you and a buddy are driving it somewhere. I mean, is it all bad just to take a slice out of there?
Skimming off the top?
If you're a little hungry, and is one, not even a whole bag, but just a little bit, is that would that be a bad thing?
With raisins or without?
Both.
Well, with raisins, totally acceptable.
Okay. All right. You would be a bad person if
who
you did
that?
Who
would do something like that?
I have no idea who would do anything like that.
Terrible.
Such terrible people. Isn't it more terrible to just sit on your butt and not help anybody
that's
ever?
That's right. That's right.
All right. Much more to get to, including our no BS election update. Straight ahead right here.
Getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Running a business is a 24/7 job.
And it's easy to fall behind on things like closing the books.
If this is you, you should know these three numbers.
37,000, 25, 1.
37,000. That's the number of businesses that have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle.
25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs.
One, because your business is one of a kind. So you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs, everything you need to grow, all in one place.
Having all your information in one place makes it easy to make better decisions.
And right now, NetSuite has an unprecedented offer to make it happen.
Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely free at NetSuite.com/MVR.
That's NetSuite.com/MVR to get your own KPI checklist.
NetSuite.com/MVR.
Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Time for our update. Let's roll it out.
It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins 2024.
Are you running? Are you not running?
No BS update. Everything you need to know. Without all the crap.
I'm about to do an research.
All right, David, what do you got today for the election update?
Well, the polling continues to look bad, at least for now, for Joe Biden in a head-to-head general election matchup. Real Clear Politics polling average shows Trump up 1.7 points, 47.2 to 45.5 in favor of Donald Trump. That goes all the way up to a 2.7-point spread when you factor in RFK Jr., Cornel West, and Jill Stein.
Wow.
I like it.
Well, and this is really why they are harping on the bloodbath thing so much, because every little thing that they can take out of context to make Trump seem like he's going to be the reincarnation of Hitler or something, they're going to use it because they are so it is such an obvious tell that they are terrified that they will lose to Donald Trump, that they resort to just flat-out lying about whatever it is that Trump says.
I was looking for something else right now. I'm sorry, dude. I just got distracted. You were saying that because on Saturday, I was looking for something online, and Trump, from Trump's account, had put out a video that had happened with Biden, and I'm not quite sure where he was, but it was over the weekend, and it's raining, and there are people that are trying to guide him to where he's supposed to go. And I mean, there's no way you could look at that and not say, that looks like an old, feeble man. And it's part of an ad someone had put together for a retirement home, much the way you did with Mumbling Meadows years ago, David.
Yeah.
And it's actually the Trump campaign that's sharing it that is so funny. Yeah. What I'm laughing about now is, as I'm looking for that, this is new, and it's Trump playing golf from his account. It says, a great honor to have won both the club championship and senior club championship this week at Trump International.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. If you ever followed that with Trump and the winning of the golf tournaments, it's just
Well, they also did
hilarious.
It with Biden when they get him off the stage with the president of Ireland.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like helping him, like physically, like touching him.
Yes.
To know which way to go once it's over. And then that look he gets, that scared sort of...
Yeah, like, huh?
Like, what?
Yes.
Where?
What was it? Was it Inside Edition that just ran a piece about Biden's senior shoes?
Yeah.
The Hokas?
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing that he's got. And it was like, you got this youngish reporter, I don't know how old he is, a middle-aged, early middle-aged maybe, who's styling or who's modeling the shoes. They're like wider soled shoes that help you keep your balance for if you're old or infirm.
Well, it's strange because, how do I say it, man? I know a lot of younger people that have worn those shoes over the last 5 years, including a couple of my kids. So it is this weird sort of thing, because the last time I was going to get running shoes, one kid said, you're going to get some Hokas? And I'm like, no. Because to me at the time, it would look like old guy trying to be hip. And at some point, you're trying to give up on that. So maybe it's just for younger people and really old. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I was going to look at them this weekend, because if they can keep you upright, I'm all about it.
The other day, Robbins did that story. He's like, Hokas? But they help you stay. Maybe I'll get a pair. Where do I get them? Yeah.
No kidding.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. All right, biggest story today, David?
Biggest story of the day is the hoax, the latest hoax that we have against Donald Trump, that He's promising a bloodbath in America. Blood will run in the gutters in every street of America.
Maybe what we should do is just lean into it.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be. So vote Trump. You don't want trouble, do you?
Vote accordingly.
Yes.
It won't be your blood if you vote for Trump.
You'll just start threatening like the left. Right. Change your laws or we're burning this city down.
That's right.
Because we all know if Trump gets reelected, there are going to be riots.
Oh, there will be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, 100%. All right, so we'll get to the latest on that. And also Trump talking about illegal immigration. You'll want to hear that straight ahead right here. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, I'm the Gen Xer. The millennial, that's David Van Camp, the sexy boomer. Scott Robbins. Man, oh, man, it's going to be a bloodbath. Can't say that ever again, can you?
No. Well, I know what you mean when you say it.
What do I mean?
Death to your opponents.
Well, obviously, yes.
That's what you mean.
Insurrection?
Yeah.
If Trump does not win, we will bathe in the blood of our enemies.
Oh, it'll be flowing down the streets. Yep.
Yeah, okay. So Trump says it's going to be a bloodbath over the weekend for the automobile industry if he's not reelected because Biden doesn't have the stones to force China to compete in a fair way against U.S. manufacturers. And that's been warped into this. He's calling for political violence. Here's how ABC News, World News Tonight, opened the broadcast with the fake news about Donald Trump.
All right.
There would be a, quote, bloodbath if he is not reelected in November. This after the former president kicked off the event by paying tribute to those who attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. President Biden's campaign swiftly denouncing those comments as threats of political violence.
My gosh.
Unbelievable.
Okay, you know what? We should probably listen to the whole thing in context again. Just to roll it out, if you haven't heard it yet. You're like, what? What are you talking about? Just so you know, this was context.
Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us. Now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars.
Okay, everybody got it?
Yeah, I got it. I understood it the first time. Yep.
Yeah. So after World News Tonight, then this morning you figure, okay, are they going to turn around on this at all, you think?
Well, no.
No, they don't. John Carl on it.
The Trump campaign defended Trump's use of the word bloodbath. Senior advisor Jason Miller saying Trump was referring to the auto industry, not political violence.
Okay, now, but here's their gotcha. And it's weird the way they edited this. But this is supposed to be the gotcha. Here it is.
It's true that Trump started out by talking about cars, but listen again. He then explicitly says that will be the least of it.
Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole... That's going to be a bloodbath for the country.
Speaking at the gridiron dinner in Washington over the weekend, President Biden laid out what he believes is at stake in the election, saying there is a toxic cycle of anger and conspiracy, adding freedom is under assault, the freedom to vote, the freedom to choose, and so much more.
They're going to be leaning on abortion, too. But that's the way they report that thing. And then, so that's the end of the report, and then they have the big wrap-up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whether or not Trump was talking solely about cars or about the broader economy when he used the word bloodbath, it wasn't the only dark warning that he made about what would happen if he loses in November. He also said that if Biden wins, quote, I don't think that you're going to have another election in this country. George?
And again, it all started out with praise for the January 6th convicts. John Carl, thanks very much.
Oh, you're so hurt, aren't you?
Yes.
So painful.
Do you think John Carl's mom wrings out his urine-soaked underwear for him, or does he have to do that on his own now?
I think she warned him back in 21.
Yeah.
This is the last time, right. John. And so now he has to do his own.
Maybe George does it for him.
I got something even... That's funny. I got something even funnier. than that part of the report, which to me is just a huge tell. Okay. As he mentioned there, that wasn't the only dark part of Trump's speech, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Get a load of this. You're going to love this.
Trump appeared angry throughout the speech, even taking it out on the teleprompter he was trying to read from.
Red is up, and I can't read this damn teleprompter.
Listen. People are dying laughing.
Yeah.
It's windy.
This sucker is moving around.
He called some of the undocumented.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
So to me, that's the big tell. Or the bloodbath. Well, he means it. That's what he's calling for. He even took it out on the teleprompter.
He threatened an inanimate object.
The wind is blowing it.
Yeah,
he can't read it. He mentions it. Like, I can't read this thing. Yeah. People are laughing. He appeared angry and agitated. John Carl needs help. Serious.
Yeah, he does.
You need some time on the couch, bro. Talk about what happened in childhood. Whatever it is, dude.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're taking that as a dark...
Trump appeared angry throughout the speech, even taking it out on the teleprompter he was trying to read from.
Red is up, and I can't read this damn teleprompter.
It's like a comedy routine, and John Carl is shaking and whizzing himself.
And Trump has done that before. When he's not lashing out at the teleprompter, but when there's an audio issue or the... He just points it out because he's getting lost in the teleprompter, and he turns it into a comedy bit. It's the old David Lee Roth video from when he's, you know, fronting Van Halen, and he is so drunk he forgets the words to one of the songs, and then he just says it to the crowd. I forgot the bleeping words, and the crowd goes crazy.
Yes, and then it becomes part of the show that you see it, you know, for the next two tours. That's part of it. But John Carl, oh.
Guys.
And we were very concerned about Mr. Roth when he said, yes, quote, I can't remember the bleeping words.
He lashed out at the lyrics.
Oh, gosh.
Dark and angry Van Halen show.
Lashed out at the lyrics.
Okay, you had something else with Trump talking about illegal immigration.
Yeah, he did an interview with Fox News' Howard Kurtz, and the topic of illegal immigration and the language that he's used, you know, poisoning the blood of the country and all that. Howard Kurtz saying, you know, they're going to use that against you. Why do you keep using those words?
Okay.
Why do you use words like vermin and poisoning of the blood? The press, as you know, immediately reacts to that by saying, well, that's the kind of language that Hitler and Mussolini used.
Well, that's what they say. I didn't know that, but that's what they say. Because our country is being poisoned. Look, we have, and we can be nice about it. We can talk about, oh, I want to be politically correct. But we have people coming in from prisons and jails, long-term murderers, people with sentences that the rest of their lives they're going to spend in some jail in some country that many people have never even heard of. They're all being released into our country. These are murderers. These are people at the highest level of crime.
It's true. That is true.
And then you have mental institutions and insane asylums. I always say the difference is one is Silence of the Lamb. You know, it's a mental institution on steroids, okay? And those mental institutions and insane asylums are being emptied out into the United States. And then you have terrorists pouring in at levels that we have never seen before. This is a horrible thing. Only bad is going to come of it.
Yeah. So I don't think that was the answer Kurtz was looking for.
No.
But yeah.
Silence of the Lambs. Oh,
God. Listen, man, I think there's been plenty of people around Trump over time that have felt like, well, we got to coach him up here and then just get him to avoid saying these things. And you know what? Who knows? Maybe some people have had influence on him and it would be far more out there than what it is. But you're not. You can only hope to contain it. You're not going to stop it with the Trumpster. You could only hope to contain it somewhat. But that stuff's just going to come out.
Just think about Anthony Hopkins in the plexiglass. You know?
Time to make America great again, Clarice.
On a lighter note, I don't know if you happen to see this. The inventor of karaoke died.
Really?
Yeah. Shigeshi Nagishi. He lived to be 100 years old. Japanese businessman. Wow.
Live longer with the karaoke, man.
Yeah, started it in 1967.
Wow.
It was originally called Sparko Box. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Sparko. Yeah. Yes. I remember they, and then they would have, you know, the little machines. I remember when my daughters were little,
oh, yeah.
had one of those. And so, you know, people were talking about, you know, karaoke and the invention of it. And then they keep track of this. The 30 most popular karaoke songs of all time, which I figured, you know what? This might be a good time on a Monday. Have some fun. Who wants a game?
Oh,
who wants it? You're the current champ, Scott. Do you want a game or not? I guess you could refuse the challenge as the champion.
Of course I don't refuse any challenges. Come on.
Oh, okay.
Let's go.
So the current champ, the vet, Scott Robbins, against the millennial David Van Camp, who'd been the champion, I mean, I think it was like 31 out of 32 times.
Since Carter was president, yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you get first pick. Yeah, I mean, I would say you know all of these songs. I mean, they're all pretty big.
These are the top ones, huh?
Top 10. Okay, that's all we got. And I think we got time for maybe three picks apiece, something like that. So
okay.
You're first, Scott. What you got?
My Way.
My Way. You're talking about Sinatra, obviously.
Yeah, well, a lot of covers on that, too.
Yes. Have you been to karaoke much?
Just no, I haven't. I know some drunks that have sung it.
Okay.
I've seen their videos, yeah.
Nope, nowhere in the top 10 for My Way.
Is that awesome?
David?
Don't Stop Believing is always popular.
You're absolutely right about that. Yes, that is number three. That's an 8-pointer.
Golly.
8-0 after round one. Back to Robbins.
Gosh dang it. It's going to be a country song. I have a feeling.
See, I got to tell you, man, as far as mental toughness, you're already thinking yourself as beat. All your confidence is gone after one round.
I have two that pop up right away, but
okay.
One's a country song, and I feel like I should go with it. Friends in Low Places.
See?
Good guess.
Good job.
Wrong!
Nope.
Ooh.
Not there. Not in the top 10.
This game sucks.
Back to Van Camp.
This is more of the After Midnight crowd, but somebody is invariably going to be singing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes, in fact, they are. And that's number 8. That's a 3-pointer.
Jeez.
Yeah. We can extend this out for one more round if you can get back in this thing. It's 11-0 right now, but number 1 is out there.
Feelings.
Feelings?
Feelings. Nothing more than feelings.
I don't know that song.
You went to the worst karaoke bar that's ever been in the history of mankind. No. David?
Living on a Prayer.
Yes.
100%. Living on a Prayer?
Oh, yes. You never seen that song before?
I got to get out more. That's all there is. Once I stop drinking, I'm
that
my,
was
my
number
acumen
two,
is way down.
9-pointer.
That's over. Forget
oh,
it.
Forget it,
I'm
man.
Done.
Done.
What was number one, though?
Sweet Caroline.
Of course.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody sing that at karaoke.
Consider yourself lucky.
Yeah.
Also had Love Shack, Wannabe by Spice Girls, Dancing Queen, I Will Survive, Summer of 69, and then at number 10, Bruno Mars, Just the Way You Are.
Glad I don't drink anymore.
That's your karaoke top 10.
Jeez.
Championship back to the millennial, David Van Camp. Okay. Much more to get to. Oh, including a suggestion to the Democratic Party. Someone said, you got to get rid of Kamala. And they came after her hard. Next. The Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins Show. Talked about it before. Seems like there's a new crisis out there every day.
Yeah, what's going on with China? What's happening in the Middle East? What's happening here at home?
It's not too late to diversify that old IRA or 401k into gold. And the Birch Gold Group can help.
As opposed to many other investment, gold thrives in times of uncertainty, and it's an important part of diversifying your savings.
Yeah, Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it won't cost you a penny out of pocket.
Real simple. Just text MBCR to 989898 for a free information kit.
They've got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, and thousands of happy customers.
Let the pros at Birch Gold Group show you how easy it is to protect your finances through precious metals. Text MBCR to 989898 for that free info kit.
That's MBCR to 989898 and get started.
Okay. So I happen to see this at Hot Air, talking about the election and Biden's polling, and it's a disaster, right? And they mention in the Washington Post, Kathleen Parker, who used to be saying, it won't happen. But she is talking about Biden is in a lot of trouble here. And, you know, it would help if Kamala Harris would just step aside.
Yeah, I saw that.
Well,
that ain't happening.
Other people have brought it up.
Well, yeah.
Democrats have brought it up.
Sure.
But, I mean, part of what she wrote was the Kamala conundrum comes down to this. She was picked because she was black and female, a combo tantamount to job security. Now that she's become a burden to the Democratic ticket, Biden can't fire her. He can't risk alienating his base. Full stop.
Nope.
The seriousness of this situation can't be overstated. Biden's diminishing faculties, notwithstanding his relatively successful State of the Union address.
Relatively. What is, well, yeah, relatively is doing a lot of work there.
Yeah. Right.
But she talks then about Kamala's approval rating. It's worse than Biden's. So there's no reason to think that her ranking would spike if she were suddenly promoted to the Oval Office. Instead, most signs point to disaster.
Oh, God.
That's why I propose, with all due respect, that Harris step away from the ticket. You can't say that.
No.
From that side. And the dog pile was on. And so, I mean, they had like 11,000 different comments.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I could go rapid fire. Can I get 24 in a minute? Probably not that much. But you want rapid fire comments?
Sure. People?
Blatant racism. Why is the Post publishing such? Fire that writer and ban her from these pages.
Yeah.
What an awful, misogynistic, racist piece of smelliness. Shame on you. Your true colors are showing. This is racism. Why did you publish this, WAPO? Fire this creature. Why is this racist, disgusting piece of recycled, blah, blah, featured here? Is this Washington Post or Fox News? This kind of snarky ignorance should not be printed by WAPO. What a sexist column. A truly offensive column. Repugnant is the only word I can use.
Oh, boy.
She was just stating the facts, wasn't she?
That's why I don't really buy the massive backlash if they dump her from the ticket. I mean, New York
I'm like,
Times
this sounds like a bunch of white harpies with their glass of wine, like one too many in on a Sunday.
Pretty much.
You don't hear many other people talking like that,
no.
Do you?
What's the argument for keeping her?
Good question.
Come on.
This is the Markley Van Camp and Robin Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. I'm Jamie Markley. That's David Van Camp. There's Scott Robbins. Heard a lot about the word bloodbath in the last several hours. Some people are very, very nervous
about
what's going to happen after the election this year.
All right, yeah, so you heard what Trump said, didn't you?
Well, according to the media, what Trump said was, there will be blood running in the streets if I lose the election. Well, he didn't say that. He was saying it'll be a bloodbath for the car industry if China is allowed to do what they're planning to do, which is to continue to undermine American manufacturing by building cars in Mexico and shipping them over here. So that's it. So, yeah, bloodbath for the whole country, you know. That term has been used time and time again to describe everything from the stock market to the auto industry itself to layoffs at the RNC. Like last week, media was saying it's a bloodbath at the RNC. Did they think that was literally – or did I miss something? Was somebody like walking around the RNC headquarters just chopping heads off? Did they go full on Haiti or what?
No, they did not.
They didn't. Oh.
No.
A bloodbath on Wall Street.
There's going to be a bloodbath
in Alabama into a bloodbath.
Obviously, there was a bloodbath. It was a bloodbath. We're down 800 points.
This bloodbath at Department of Homeland Security?
It could go on all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're saying that sometimes bloodbath is used as a turn of phrase, not as a literal description of killing people.
Correct.
Hmm. Well, so media, though, they're having conniptions over it. And Jim Acosta, he still works at CNN, you know. He was on. And
I forget it sometimes, to
be honest.
I
know, me too.
I never see it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
all the people that got fired, I can't remember even who's still there.
Yeah. He got into a conversation with a Republican strategist, Alice Stewart, on Bloodbath. And she's trying to explain to him, hey, idiot, I mean, look, he was talking about an economic bloodbath. It's a term that's used all the time, obviously.
Okay. All right. Roll it.
He uses the term bloodbath, he is talking about this in an economic sense. And you look at the word bloodbath.
But he says that's going to be the least
bloodbath
of it.
Means
it's going to be a bloodbath of the country.
Shut up.
I think this is a tremendous disservice to people.
I love you, Alice, but I mean...
I love you too, Jim, but I think
let me tell you, I really think, because, you know, was it out of context when you said very fine people on both sides?
Oh, my gosh.
That is
the greatest cell phone of all time.
Well, the answer is yes.
Yeah, the answer is yes, because seconds later, Trump said, and I'm not talking about neo-Nazis and white supremacists, because they should be condemned totally.
Oh, my gosh, that is astounding.
I can't believe he went with that.
You should be fired today.
For that.
If you're that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's astounding. He's still going with the fine people hoax.
Yes, he is.
As he is going with the new hoax, which is bloodbath.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, that's wild.
Yep. Okay. That's Jim Acosta, the one we know and love.
Seriously, David, how do you keep your job?
if you're that guy?
I thought CNN was like trying to at least get closer.
They're not.
No, well, they ousted the guy who went in there to try to put it a little bit more onto a more even keel.
They got rid of him.
Wow. Okay. I mean, the fine people hoax.
Yeah.
I feel like we got to pull this out every time something like that comes up.
Well, you kind of do. I mean, almost just to remind folks of what the actual content of it was.
And the fact that legacy media still goes with it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
When it's so easy to prove that that's not what he said. We talk about it all the time, how legacy media just flat out lies to people. Yeah. And it's propaganda. But sometimes it's so sloppy.
Yeah. Well, what they're counting on is a majority of the audience, and they have every reason to believe in this because it's successful. A lot of times they're counting on the audience to never do the extra legwork. I mean, and it's true. I mean, we've had this conversation. So if you remember, this was 2017, the Unite the Right rally or whatever it was called in Charlottesville, Virginia, went on, and it got, well, deadly. There was a nut job white supremacist guy who ran over a young lady, killed her.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump is doing the press conference, and he's saying, well, there were people who were protesting the taking down of these statues and monuments in the town. And he said, yeah, there were very fine people on both sides of this, but then went on to say, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists, because they should be condemned totally.
And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis. And white nationalists, okay?
And
the press has treated them absolutely unfairly.
And the crazy part is that...
You know, was it out of context when you said very fine people on both sides?
Yes, it was, actually.
Yeah, Jim, you dope.
And, what's fascinating to me, and we talked about this before, is that there is somebody who, or a couple of people who I know, who have totally bought into the fine people hoax. You can play them that piece of audio... And they'll say you took that out of context.
What?
How? This is the brainwashing thing, man. I mean, I'm serious. And these are people that I don't consider stupid. I don't think they're dumb. I think they're very intelligent people. But they've been brainwashed by the political machine that operates under the guise of the press.
Okay. But when you actually see the proof, what do they think, that that's doctored video or something?
No, they're saying, well, that's out of context, because you should have known everybody there was a white supremacist and neo-Nazi. but that's not really true.
Okay. So, but if it's someone like Captain Nads, Jerry Nadler, that says there's no such thing as Antifa,
right?
We're not supposed to pay attention to what he said?
No.
Well, he never really said that. No, he did. Here's the audio. Here's the video clip of it. Well, he was just misinformed at that time. Okay. Man, you really got to jump through a lot of hoops to keep believing what you're believing.
Yeah.
Maybe it's some sort of denialism that you're living in. Or maybe you just can't admit it when you're freaking wrong.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit of both, maybe. But I think there is, you've told it so many times, you just don't believe the truth.
Well, it's the same thing where a lot of liberals still believe that Mitch McConnell, the moment Barack Obama was elected the first time, said, our pledge is to make him a one-term president. He didn't say it at that time. He said it before the midterms, 2 years after Barack Obama was elected. And you can show people the proof, and they're like, well, no, he said it a different time, too.
Okay.
They won't believe it.
I want to switch gears here to something else. But before I get into this story, I want to ask this question, David, or Scott, either one. For the people that are still on, we don't know, the fine people thing, no, he said it, blah, blah, blah. Are they also of the mind, Hunter Biden really did nothing wrong?
Yeah, well.
Oh, sure.
He was just an addict.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not like Joe benefited from any of his business dealings. Do they believe that BS, too?
Yes. The father who loves his son.
Oh, my gosh.
Of course they do.
That's crazy. Well, you know, sometimes you forget some of the things that are going on. James Comer from the House Oversight Committee, he's the chairman, made the announcement on Fox News talking about his plans to proceed with a public hearing this week with Hunter. As they're still looking at this impeachment inquiry, and to me, this was some news that was big news, I guess.
And I fully expect Hunter Biden to show up. If he does not show up
this week,
then it's not going to end well for the Bidens, because we have three witnesses that have already testified under oath to significantly different stories as to what exactly the Biden influence peddling schemes were. This is very serious, because we're at the point now of criminal referrals.
That seems like a big deal. Criminal referrals.
Yeah. Well, for who? You know, that's the question.
Hunter, Joe, both. When Maria Bartiromo followed up.
Criminal referrals, meaning you are going to refer these people for criminal action. How many criminal referrals are you expecting to make?
Well, there are going to be multiple criminal referrals. Look, we've spent a year investigating this. We faced massive obstruction from the White House, from the Biden legal team, yet we've been able to get probably 80% of the information that we've requested.
Okay. So multiple criminal referrals. That seems like a big story. Again, and listen, when it comes down to the election, I would imagine it's going to be the independents or the people that could be swayed one way or another. I guess the people that are believing the fine people hoax, they're not going to be convinced
right. Anyway.
But for reasonable people, thinking just from polling, when you look, do you think that the Biden family benefited from this? It was over 50%.
Oh, sure.
To the people, that would be a big story, I would think. Okay. You got an update out of New York? With illegal immigrants, David?
So New York Mayor Eric Adams announced on Friday that he has changed the city's right to shelter policy because he can't keep housing all the illegal immigrants who've landed in New York. So basically, most adults will only have 30 days in a shelter. You can't reapply. You got to go somewhere else. Sorry, it's closed. Now, here's Eric Adams in announcing this.
Okay.
We have been clear since day one that the right to shelter was never intended to apply to large-scale migrant populations arriving without housing or legal work status in such a short period of time.
Hold on, I don't remember that.
No, of course not.
Oh, clear from day one.
No.
You campaigned on it.
Absolutely you did.
We cannot bear the brunt of this crisis along with just a handful of other cities.
Well, not everybody had their hand up. You did.
Yeah, that's part
Jackass.
Of it.
Jackass. All right. Listen, you know what? I'm tired of these guys. You wanted this. You asked for it. You demonized all the states who were like, whoa, wait a minute, we can't handle all this. You called them racist.
Yep.
And you had your, well, that will never happen in our state because we're waving the flag here. Come on in.
Well, he's changed his tune a number of different times.
Well, yes, so is Brandon Johnson in Chicago.
But the thing with Eric Adams, he started going after Biden. You got to do something. And all of a sudden, he got a visit from the feds.
Yeah, they're knocking down your door. Yeah.
And then he changed his tune back again.
Yeah.
At Governor Abbott in Texas. Enemy of the people.
Right.
Yeah, horrible people. DeSantis, horrible. They're all horrible.
I just keep hearing that, and I'm thinking, Abbott, you better start gassing up some more buses, because what I hear is Eric Adams would love more new arrivals.
Yes. I mean, you said it before. You campaigned on it. We're a welcoming city.
Yes. Sanctuary. All of us.
I would think you would want more.
You're safe here. Don't you worry.
You know, it'd be one thing if the dude just said, you know what, listen, we got out over our skis here. We had no idea we were going to be dealing with these kinds of numbers. We wanted to be welcoming, but serious, okay? We're telling you now, we can't do this. That's not what he's saying. We've been clear since day one.
No, you haven't.
Liar.
Neither's your governor.
Exactly.
Neither one of you.
Yes. Wow.
Zip it.
I like it when you've had enough, Scott.
I have. I'm done, sick and tired of the whole damn thing right now.
Oh, goodness. Oh, an update on January 6th that you'll want to hear much more straight ahead.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Opening day is coming up, and there's a pretty big basketball tournament this month. It's a good time to check out Prize Picks.
It's the easiest way to play daily fantasy sports. You're just playing against numbers.
You pick 2 to 6 players, pick a stat projection, and choose more or less.
There are no sharks to worry about. All you do is pick more or less.
They also offer injury insurance, so you stay in play even if one of your players gets hurt.
Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with an injury insurance policy.
Prize Picks also offers weekly promotions and special offers for the biggest moments in sports.
You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 on college basketball, pro basketball, baseball, even esports if that's your thing.
Download the app today and use code MVCR for a first deposit match of up to $100.
That's code MVCR on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100.
Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Thank you very much for being here. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Heard from Daily Wire News. Molly Hemingway from The Federalist. She's a Fox News contributor, too. Mentioned before, she's always solid with her reporting. She's very good. I was talking about January 6th and the committee. Because, you know, the committee, they wanted to bring the truth out of the American people.
Right.
That's why they hired a TV producer to do it prime time.
That's right.
A bunch of BS. Well, they said, we did over 1,000 interviews with people. So Molly Hemingway is going through all these interviews and finds out, wait a second, there's like 500 of those interviews that never saw the light of day. So she's, FOIA request and looking through the interviews and finding out all this information that never got to the American people. Talking about, all the events leading up to January 6th before there was the riot. And you've probably heard the talk before about, hey, wasn't like 10,000 troops requested? You know, legacy media knows no truth to that. Whatever. Here's Molly Hemingway talking about some of the interviews she uncovered.
So, for example, Tony Ornato, who was deputy chief of staff, he did three interviews with the January 6th committee. And the first one, they ask him, you know, you didn't see anything about 10,000 troops being sought by the White House, did you? And he said, no, actually, I did. I happened to overhear a phone call between Mark Meadows and the D.C. mayor, Muriel Bowser, where he was encouraging her to request more National Guard to protect the Capitol. She did not want to do that. And so then he sought a quick action force at the based out of the Pentagon so that people would be ready to go if anything were needed. It also shows that the White House had no understanding that there would be any kind of violence that day from people who had gathered to support the president, but that they were worried about.
No, it was an all-out attempted coup.
Mm-hmm.
You know that. It was an insurrection.
Yeah.
It was planned. You know that.
No one showed up with a bunch of rifles, though. That's weird.
That is weird. But, I mean, that's what we heard from the left over and over again.
Which had previously, in the months prior, attacked some Republicans who had shown up to protest in the nation's capital. It's just a very different narrative than the one painted by the January 6th committee.
Right.
This was an all-out attempted coup.
AOC, if you need her.
I'll remind you, too, David Van Camp, that words are violence.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Firebombing a federal courthouse in Portland. No, that's not violence. That's speech.
No, that's speech. Yeah.
Well, and it was also the part, and we talked about this last week, that the driver of the beast said, no, Trump never reached out and tried to strangle me. There's nothing like that happened. That was an absolute joke. It didn't happen. It still cracks
still
you up.
Still one of my
time.
All-time favorites, though.
Oh, of Trump mocking it?
Mocking it and the fact that it was even believable to begin with. They tried to pass this off as a true story.
Dude, they ran with it.
I know they did.
It was crazy. Yes. Yeah, so you know what? We had that last week. We may have to play that again sometime soon because it's just too funny.
It is.
And I reached out to choke him.
I know. If I'm Trump, I'm a little bit bummed that it's been thoroughly debunked at this point because it kind of makes him sound like a badass.
Oh, yeah, all his buddies apparently were saying, I didn't know you were that strong.
Well, they said he jumped from the back seat to the front seat, too.
Oh, he was agile.
Yeah.
He was able to do it.
Unbelievable.
You could just see John Carl from ABC hearing that story for the first time, just shaking, wetting himself a little. Oh, he's capable of this. Oh, my goodness. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin show.
He's Batman.
All right, David, biggest story today.
Unfortunately, Donald Trump is not, in fact, the Terminator. That's the biggest story.
How about that?
But when they do the memes that he is, it's pretty funny.
It is pretty funny, No, biggest story of the day is another hoax being pushed that Donald Trump is calling for blood to run in the streets if he doesn't win re-election.
Holy smokes.
Every time I think, you know what, maybe I'm just in my own bubble and I need to back off of my absolute hatred of legacy media on the national level. And then they do stuff like this, and I'm like, no, I don't hate them enough. That's true, actually.
I say lean into it. That's right. You better vote Trump.
Sharpening up the machetes as we speak.
The Robin Trifecta coming up.
All right.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show. I'm Jamie Markley, the Gen Xer. The Millennial, David Van Camp, and the Sexy Boomer, Scott Robin.
Uh-huh.
See this story from NBC News, of all places. Behind the scenes, Joe Biden has grown angry and anxious about the re-election effort.
Well, yeah.
Okay, what does this mean when NBC is reporting this?
What does it mean?
Is there a little push?
Oh, I think the mainstream media is pushing. Yes.
To get him out?
I'd love to think. I think they'd love to see a brokered convention, an open nomination. Yeah.
Story starts like this. President Joe Biden was seething. In a private meeting at the White House in January, allies of the president had just told him that his poll numbers in Michigan and Georgia had dropped over his handling of the war between Israel and Hamas.
Yeah. That's what you got to really look at, those.
Both are battleground states. He narrowly won 4 years ago, and he can't afford any backsliding if he is to once again defeat Donald Trump. He began to shout and swear, a lawmaker familiar with the meeting said.
Well, they thought that's what he was saying anyway. They're not really sure.
Right. But he believed he had been doing what was right, despite the political fallout.
He's very angry.
Huh. About the episode, Andrew Bates, a White House spokesman, said President Biden makes national security decisions based on the country's national security needs alone, no other factor. But as they've watched this campaign unfold with rising alarms, he's getting irritated.
Yeah, he is.
Well, there's been a number of times during a speech he'll be going along with, you know, kind of the slurring sort of cadence, and all of a sudden, you know, he'd start yelling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, wow, where did that come from?
Well, that's when the slow release pill hits.
Oh.
We did a lot of that at the State of the Union. There was a lot of yelling going on.
Well, at the start of that, it was like it was very fast.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
But he'd be going along. Well, he's done this, you know.
Look at your child. You know the needs of an innocent very to live.
And you're kind of like, what? Like passion will take the place of coherency? Something like that?
Think about what you'd think about.
Whoa! Easy, old fella. It's going to be okay.
Think about what you'd think about.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, man, you're going to have to smoke a joint and get back to us on that, Scott. I don't think you're going to be able to figure it out in this state you're in right now, which
think,
is sober.
Think about what you think about. Well, you know, I see, like, I get you're eight bottles in going, no, I get it. I know exactly what he meant.
It was the Pink Floyd album that was never released.
Well, right. Either that or, you know, Loverboy diehard fans will understand what he just said.
Oh, you're talking about working for the weekend.
Yeah, start from the start. Yeah.
Yeah, could do that.
Think about what you'd think about.
Yeah, as if there's an option when you're thinking.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
See, that could have been the follow-up to Hot Girls in Love.
Yeah. Think about what you think about.
Yes, absolutely.
When you think of me.
I think you're ready now. Let's roll it out.
Let's go.
Are you ready?
One, two.
It's the three most important news stories of the day.
I hit the trifecta.
Well, at least according to Scott Robbins. It's the trifecta on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
Every day about this time, the Scott Robbins trifecta, his top three of the day, helped by his hero.
I'm Casey Kasem.
Hey, buddy, where were you this weekend? Waited up all weekend for you. Nope.
Gotcha.
Where were you? The selection show on yesterday?
I'm ready.
I invited you over? Nothing.
Believe me, I didn't want to go.
I know, you say that all the time. Well, I'm
ready.
Tell me that up front.
Three.
Number three, the feds are cracking down on ice cream machines.
Well, you know, having solved all the rest of the problems, here we go. Yep. Sleep well, knowing this is how you're wasting your tax dollars, my friends. The feds are now demanding that the constantly broken down ice cream machines at McDonald's and other fast food restaurants can be more easily repaired. They've had enough.
I'm beginning to realize it's time for a change.
Yeah, well, it is. But in a letter to the U.S. Copyright Office this week, the FTC and the Department of Justice, the Antitrust Division, called for exemptions for commercial soft serve machines from the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, a law that makes it difficult for franchise owners to do their own damn repairs. They have to hire a third-party repair technician. I never knew that. Currently, only technicians licensed by the company that makes McDonald's soft serve ice cream machines are allowed to fix them. You can't fix them.
Yeah. I mean, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I remember a story about this coming out, what was that, a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Where it's a massive scam. It was like, here's why your McDonald's is always telling you that the ice cream machine is broken. And it's like there is a cozy relationship happening between the manufacturers of this and the people that get hired to go fix them. They have every incentive in the world to not make good products.
Wait, how about it, huh?
Because it's just paying off another friend of theirs, basically.
Unreal.
Now, wow. On with the countdown.
Scott Robbins trifecta, top three of the day, up to number
two.
Number two, a Milwaukee bar says they're closing down during the Republican convention.
Yeah, something called the mothership. They're going to close down during the Republican National Convention so they don't have to serve Never Trumpers. For attention, potentially, by the way, I guess, giving up a whole lot of money here. Guy said, I'm not actively trying to get involved. I'm just not going to rent my space out for this tomfoolery of this convention.
What?
So he's going to close it down.
Never Trumpers or Trump supporters?
Both, I guess.
Well, if it's Never Trumpers, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't serve them.
No, it's Trumpers. It's Trumpers.
Probably drinking wine anyway.
But it's funny.
I ain't going to stand for it.
If this is the same bake the cake crowd that's, you know, bake that cake. Well, no. Well, you're going to bake it anyway. So you're going to close because you disagree with the political stylings of one party over another. So you're not going to serve them. Got it.
Okay. This is one bar?
Yeah.
In Milwaukee? Mm-hmm. Okay. I was going to say
well,
this
there's
can't
several.
Be.
Yeah.
All right. Known a lot of people in Milwaukee over time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they wouldn't stand for that. I'm just saying that that's not...
You know, I wonder if this guy understands that he probably serves MAGA people every single day.
I who knows? You would think.
I would think.
I don't know.
The countdown doesn't stop till we reach the top.
Well, that's right. The Scott Robbins trifecta, top three of the day.
And finally, one.
Number one, Joe Biden's handlers respond to what's being called, unfortunately, Shoegate.
Yeah, this is over those shoes he's been wearing that look like flying saucers on his feet. And everybody, when they first saw him, people were like, what the hell is that? What's going on? White House Deputy Press Secretary Andrew Bates said, you got to explain this. He said, okay, I can explain it. The shoes are for exercise. This guy is an exercising demon. He said, I know y'all don't care for presidents who exercise, but don't worry, you'll get used to it with Joe Biden.
Well...
Biden can barely walk. What do you mean exercising? What are we talking about here?
They're the Hokas and not, I mean,
yes.
They're lifestyle sneakers is what they're called. Inside Edition did a report on it if you want to hear part of it.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
Of course I do.
Yeah.
Many observers couldn't help but notice his footwear. Are those sneakers? Yep, they're so-called lifestyle sneakers made by Hoka, designed for maximum comfort and support while walking or hiking.
And here they are, the Joe Biden sneaker. They're made by Hoka. These are called the Hoka Transport, and as you can see, they look quite comfortable. They have a wide sole, no doubt great for stability, and the president does have a history of stumbling.
You know, that's true. He does. Well, you know, the thing that's weird, and I, listen, man, what do I know? Just a jamoke on the radio. I don't know what's going to keep you upright and what's not. But the Hoka has got a thick sole. I mean, it gets you higher off the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the picture. Yeah.
Okay. And then from what I understand, I've never had a pair on my feet, but the cushion is supposed to be good.
Yeah.
A little spongy. Is that going to help with your balance if you're another inch off the ground and it's spongy?
Well, see, they're wider as well. To help with the balance issues, so it's they're not as it's not the hard sole of a dress shoe,
right?
So I think a lot of people who are on their feet all day, like nurses, doctors, like those types of shoes because it's like kind of like the same way they liked Crocs. They're comfortable; you can wear them all day, and you know they grip the linoleum in the hallway and whatnot very well. So
my daughter's had a couple pair.
Yeah. And right, exactly. So, but apparently seniors like them as well when they're going mall walking because they don't look necessarily like old people's shoes. But some of the brands are actually designed for seniors. And when it comes to the best cushion shoes for walkers, according to verywellfit.com, the Hokas, the thick, full-length midsole offers a plush yet supportive feel and protective shock absorption. And despite its ample cushioning, we found that the mesh upper still offers great breathability and blister protection.
You know what you just did, David?
What's that?
Sold Robin's pair of shoes.
You might. How much are those things? I mean, seriously.
Like 150
are they really
bucks.
150 bucks. Well, yeah. Anymore in the tennis shoe world, that's not terrible.
So that's taking the place of the Air Monarchs from Nike, known as the old guy shoes?
Air Monarchs?
Yeah.
Is that with the Air Biden?
I don't know, man.
Is that what we got going on
Air
now?
Biden.
Yeah, right.
Well, I know some running shoes, they'll make it with rails on each side.
Yeah, that's true.
Basically, so if, you know, you're one that rolls an ankle,
yeah.
That it would protect you from that. But, yeah, I mean, for what Joe's got going on, he needs all the help he can get.
Yeah.
You know, just to stay upright.
Yeah.
Yes. And there you go. That's Scott Robinson.
And there you have it.
Yeah, thanks, Casey.
When he shuffles, though, that's when they look big. They look like plates.
Well, dude, when does he not shuffle?
When he's doing that thing where he does that stiff gait walk where he's trying to walk fast to make you
and then he's looking around,
right?
Every time that you see a video like that, you know someone's saying this is elder abuse.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh my gosh, how do they let him out there like that? Goodness gracious. All right. We got to get to another news update. Man, Nimrod's in the news. It has to do with a supermarket and someone frisky with produce.
No. Whoa. Oh, no.
Getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Hey, opening day's coming up. And now, big basketball tournament, getting geared up for that. It's a good time to check out Prize Picks.
It's the easiest way to do daily fantasy sports. You're just playing against numbers.
Well, it's simple, too. You just pick 2 to 6 players, pick a stat projection, and choose more or less. That's
there are
it.
No sharks to worry about. People like Robbins that really know their stuff.
Shut up.
All you do is pick more or less.
Yeah, they also offer injury insurance, so you stay in play even if one of your players gets hurt.
Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with an injury insurance policy.
They also have weekly promotions and special offers for the biggest moments in sports.
And they offer a ton of sports and a ton of stat projections to play along with. You got college basketball, pro basketball, baseball coming up, even esports.
Yeah, you can download the app today and use code MBCR for a first deposit match up to $100.
Again, that's code MBCR on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100.
Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
All right, news update, David Van Camp.
This is supposed to be scandalous, although I'm not really sure it is. Jake Sullivan, National Security Advisor, being asked about the story you had earlier, Jamie. NBC News was reporting that Joe Biden is getting very angry because his poll numbers are dropping, especially in swing states like Michigan, due to the handling or his support of Israel in their campaign against Hamas in Gaza. Jake Sullivan was asked, What's he shouting and swearing about?
There's a report that when President Biden was told his handling of the war between Israel and Hamas was starting to affect his poll numbers, the quote is, he began to shout and swear. So when he does that, is he shouting and swearing about Netanyahu or about Hamas or about his poll numbers?
This is the when did you stop beating your spouse question, because I don't think he ever did that. You use that as the premise of your question, which is when he does that. I've never seen him do that, shout or swear in response to that. So from my perspective, particular report is not correct.
Okay, that's a garbage answer.
Yeah.
To beat my spouse. Come on, man. NBC News reported it. You could say, I've never seen that. say that, but like the question's so bad. Dude, what a failure that guy is at his job. Gee whiz. I don't know about his personal life, but as far as the job he does, I mean, from Afghanistan on down, what have we done well? Like, what's one win we have?
That's why you see the line of attack they're using. You can't talk about successes.
I mean, I don't know, but if you work for an ammo supply manufacturer or distributor, you've definitely done very well thanks to Joe Biden.
But as far as foreign policy, there's got to be one. There's got to be one win. I just can't think of it.
I'll wait. Yeah.
David, okay. Just play the role of liberal right now. What's one win you have?
He's defending Ukraine, a perfect democracy in Europe, from the authoritarian invasion of Vladimir Putin in Russia.
We've been misled on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's about it. Yeah.
Okay, let's just get to Nimrods. There's no need trying to figure out that question.
When the going gets tough.
Damn it, this is too hard.
The dumb get dumber.
All right, Dan.
It's Nimrods in the News on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
I love the poorly educated.
All right. Nimrods in the News. We start in Colorado. You know, maybe you do this. Maybe your spouse says, you know, just because you get produce, the store, you still got to wash it once you get home. Yeah. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it is.
It's a good thing. This 32-year-old guy in Colorado, Stephen Masalta, was busted after allegedly getting frisky with some of the products at the grocery store, including fruits, vegetables, and baked goods.
Frisky?
Yes. Okay, they found video evidence of this at his house. They were led to a search at his home. The food items weren't sealed, okay? And unfortunately, he wasn't caught in the act. The police nabbed him, okay, because he had been doing that, you know, what would you call it?
La, 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 while holding a kumquat.
Golly, did you have to say that?
He saw a melon baller and got inspired.
So anyway, he was doing that in front of numerous coffee shops and businesses. And so they go to his house and then they see video of this with the produce and everything else. But those videos were from last summer.
Yeah, well.
So he's facing a slew of charges.
So he's moved on. He's not a prop la-la anymore. Okay.
Golly. And then this idiot, dude in Washington State, caught trying to steal booze and two pocket burritos from a store while two cops were in there actually shopping.
Oh, boy.
Yes. Nimrods, always fun. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.